Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today's date is Tuesday, October 22nd, and today we're reading from the Big Book. We are on page 54 in We Agnostics, and we're reading paragraph 2, which begins with Imagine Life Without Faith and ends with At Least So the Chemist Says. Today's readers are Mary P. for the 12 Steps, Joanne L. for the 12 Traditions, Sherry Z. will read and comment on our share, Luann C. will read page 164 for us, and Alice K., thank you for being here for backup. And P. to B. to greet newcomers, and Shelley E. to close us out with some announcements. The reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 21846. That's 21846. And the reference number for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting, is 21848. That's 21848. VOA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive overeating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Mary P. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Thanks, Elaine. Here are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives have become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me be of service this morning, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Mary P. And I will now ask Joanne L. to please read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning. Thank you for your service, Elaine, and thank you for everybody on the line, especially the newcomers. I am Joanne L. from Rhode Island. I am still writing. I'm almost done. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Lease problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. In 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Joanne L. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 54, paragraph 2, which begins with Imagine Life Without Faith. And I will now ask Sherry Z to please begin reading for us.
Thank you so much. This is Sherry Z in Southern California, and we're on page 54, almost the last paragraph. Imagine life without faith, where nothing left but pure reason. It wouldn't be life. But we believed in life. Of course we did. We could not prove life in the sense that you could prove a straight line is the shortest distance between two points. Yet there it was. Could we still say the whole thing was nothing but a mass of electrons, created out of nothing, meaning nothing, whirling on to a destiny of nothingness? Of course we couldn't. The electrons themselves seem more intelligent than that. At least so the chemist said. Again, Sherry Z, recovered in Southern California, and we're on page 54. So I read this paragraph, and I want to add a word to the first sentence. Imagine life without activating faith. Because I had faith. I believe each of us, and this is my personal thing, and maybe we've seen in a couple paragraphs down the line, that we're born with faith, because I accept that there are a lot of things and I believe in them, like electricity and Netflix and all kinds of things. What I didn't do for so many years in this program was activate my faith, was literally say, God, because there's a difference between faith and God. And I think for the newcomer, if I heard I have to believe in God and have faith and do this, that, and the other, it would have been hard. But I have to have faith that this program works. And what happened for me was that this program helped me activate my faith. It allowed me to say, God, do for me what I cannot do for myself. I have faith that I am exactly where I'm supposed to be. I have faith that you got this. And that one was so hard for me because I believed God had it. I had it, God had it until God didn't. And then I had to step in. And that was so hard for me because it was like 85%, 90%, 95%. But what real activation of faith is saying, God has this, all of it. What my children do, what my husband does. I just came back from being in a war zone. Whatever it means, God has this, even if it doesn't turn out the way I want it. So for me, this paragraph talks about, for the agnostic, for the person who's like, this can't work for me, all you have to do is activate. All you have to do is take action, because that's what happened for me. And I'm grateful to say that I have an active faith in God today. So thank you very much. I hope I made sense. I'm very jet lagged and I passed.
You were great. Thank you very, very much. It's a great start, Sherry Z. Appreciate it. Although we value everybody's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you would like to comment on page 54, paragraph 2, please press star 1 to unmute and give me your name. We'll take a lineup.
Luann C., Boise, Idaho.
Luann C. We're off to a slow start today, and that is okay. Luann C., please share with us.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks, Elaine, for your service, and I loved the first share. I'm Luann C. I'm gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Boise, Idaho. And, of course, I always get stuck at the first sentence, imagine life without faith. And I was talking with a member, and she was telling me that she spoke with her mom wondering how people could bear life without a belief in God. And I said, hey, I'll tell you how, because that was my life. I mean, I had a flirtation with God, but I believed in me, in my intellect and my answers. And if it came from my brain, it felt solid. So with that way of thinking, I followed an endless stream for decades of ideas and beliefs coming out of my own mind. You know, I believed in human intelligence, in the latest diet, in designer brands. I mean, I was laminated to people's opinion of me. But always having to come up with an answer on my own was just exhausting until I just couldn't do it anymore. And even when I was on my knees, willing to follow directions and hoping this thing would work, I really only wanted to lose this mental illness and of course the weight. And yet in that moment of surrender, I seemed to have been sealed to this power greater than me. And even if my spiritual structure slips and new obsessions try to get in, my higher power just won't let me go until I remember who I am and who's holding me up. And I have renewed strength to keep going on this path that really goes somewhere. And I'm just so grateful today that I don't have to live and to imagine a life without faith, because now I have a faith that works. And I was in Instagram and I saw this great illustration of a human being, and they were holding up this hairball that was 3 times their size and just placing it in the hands, this giant hand of God. And that's how I feel today. And God, what a relief. And to the newcomer, I know this sounds like impossible juju, but you know what? I'm here to tell you, it really works. So climb on. All right, that's all I've got. Buddy, for being here and being a part of my recovery, I pass.
Thank you so much, Lillian C. Okay, now we'll take a lineup. And if you haven't shared in the last couple of days, we'd love to
Rachel
hear from
L.
you. Rachel L.
And B.
Deb E. in Israel.
And B. I heard Deb E. And then somebody else came in with Deb.
Katie E. Katie F.
Katie F.
Tom L. California.
L, and did I hear Brucey?
Yeah, Brucey. Thank you.
Okay. I'll tell you who I've got, and if I missed you, let me know. Rachel L, Ann P, Deb E, Katie S, Tom L, Bruce E, and if I've got your name wrong, correct me when I when I when I call on you. Did I miss anybody? Anybody else want to get in this lineup?
Vanessa G.
Vanessa G. Okay. That's a great lineup. Okay. So, Rachel L., you are up first, and you'll be followed by Ann P.
Hi, Rachel L., compulsive overeater from San Diego, California. So I literally had no faith in a higher power when I first came.
Rachel, I'm sorry. We just lost you. Could you press star one to unmute? Not sure what happened.
Oh, there we go. Is that better?
Okay. Yeah, thanks so much.
Okay. Okay, perfect. Hi, Rachel O., compulsive overeater from San Diego, California. When I first came into OA, I had no faith in a higher power. My higher power was food. I was my own higher power. The only time I prayed was to ask God for a favor, you know, for money, for materialistic things. And, you know, now I literally had to be taught how to pray right, because I did not know how. I didn't know how to talk to God. I didn't know how to do anything. You know, I thought I would get mad when things wouldn't go my way. You know, when I wanted $20 in my hand and I didn't get it, I'd get pissed and be like, see, there's God not being there for me again. But then I was talking to someone and they told me, well, Rachel, you never really gave your higher power a chance to be your higher power. And I went, wow, you're right. Because I never had faith. So now that I have this higher power of my understanding, and I have faith, even though today, you know, I'm having a pretty bad day and I'm struggling, you know, with the food and with everything going on right now in my life, I still have that faith, you know, and I know I'm going to be okay. I have this amazing family called OA, and I know all of you guys got my back, and all I have to do is make an outreach call, and one of you guys are going to answer me. And I have that faith that I'm going to be all right. And I have this amazing higher power that when I walk to him, he's going to run to me. So thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Rachel L. Ann P., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Deb E.
Hello, this is Ann B. from Westchester United Intergroup in New York. As a younger person, I was a very spiritual person. You know, I was involved with religious groups. I had spiritual practices, and those things were very important to me. And, you know, I was overweight in high school, especially when I was an exchange student in France, and then I lost some weight in college, not quite as much as I've lost in OA, but I weighed about 10 pounds more in college than I weigh now. And in college, it was pretty spiritual in college, and it became even more so later when I started working and joining a religious group and stuff. And then I got married and I had children, and I believed I just didn't have time for my spiritual life, and really my job and my family became my higher power. And I really, and not only neglected my spiritual life, but neglected myself, you know, where I didn't have a self. I just existed to serve others. But not in a spiritual way. Well, you know, I hoped that my spirituality was still there, but it really wasn't. And the spiritual experiences that I had just kind of dried up. And I thought that was like age, you know, like skin dries up with age and then spirituality dries up with age. That's what I thought. But, you know, people told me that you have to invest time in your spiritual life. You can't just wait for it. You can't just rush around and expect it to come to you. And I, of course, didn't listen. And it wasn't until my husband left me in 2004 that I had the desperation really to go back and find my spiritual life again. And OA was a big part of that. And that's a huge gift I feel that OA gave me, because I didn't realize that by neglecting my spiritual life, not only did I gain weight, but I was really killing myself by not spending that time, because I knew that I felt good when I spent time doing prayer and meditation. And, well, not prayer so much, but meditation, because my religious group prayer wasn't really encouraged, but meditation was. And, but I knew that I felt good when I did those things. And I've later read that there's research that prayer and meditation release endorphins. But I didn't devote myself to it until, you know, my hitting bottom came in a way from my husband leaving me, because then I had that desperation to go back and find my spirituality, which was very much inspired by OA. And I'm very grateful to OA for helping me to see that without my spirituality, oh, thank you. Let's finish the sentence. Without my spirituality, I'm killing myself. So I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Andy. Okay, Debbie, you're up next, and you'll be followed by Katie S.
Hi, this is Debbie, recovered compulsive overeater in Israel. And I was going to talk about faith, and I realized, well, let me look it up, because I think I know what faith means, but oftentimes when I look words up, I find out new things. So it says here, a complete trust or confidence in someone or something, or a strong belief in God or in the doctrines of a religion based on spiritual apprehension rather than proof. And just one more that applied, it's a belief and trust in God based on evidence but without total proof, which is what they're talking about here. Because I was going to start by saying, well, life without faith was the life I had before OA. Like somebody else already shared on. And it's kind of a mix, because I believed in God, but I didn't have complete trust or confidence. That's for sure. And I didn't need proof to, and I think this is the whole like Gnostic thing, you know, I didn't feel like I needed proof that there was a God, but I don't think I think somewhere inside me, I felt like I needed proof that I could get help with my eating disorder, but that wasn't just going to come. And so I don't think I believed fully. And this paragraph also made me think about how I remember very distinctly, like feeling, is this all there is? As a child and as a teen, like getting this completely empty, lonely, just lost feeling. And then later on, I understood it to be that, like, you know, the God-sized hole we talk about, that complete lack of spirituality in my life. And it just, for me, it just, I could feel, I couldn't quite articulate what it was or put a finger on it, but it just felt like this emptiness. And since finding real faith, I guess, is how I would put it now, like true faith and finding that true trust and real trust in higher power, I don't feel that feeling of, you know, feeling lost and without, I guess it helps me feel grounded. You know, having a belief in a higher power grounds me. And even if I do feel lost sometimes and I do doubt my higher power's ability sometimes, if I, you know, get all my thoughts out of the way and I really connect back to what I know about my higher power, then I get grounded again and I do realize that I have that trust. But my head tries to convince me sometimes that I don't and that it's not there. But it is. But I do have to seek it out, you know, like it says in the steps, we have to seek out our higher power. And I'm pass with that.
Good timing. Thanks, Debbie. Okay, KDS is up next, followed by Tom L. Star one to unmute KDS.
This is KDS in North Carolina. When it comes to faith, I had a real problem with God, because God to me equaled my father, and he was so abusive and the situation was so difficult that I've grown up with, and even after 77 years, have really strong anger toward God and toward my father, and I have chaotic and strong resentments that even if I've been in OA for about a year and a half, and I've lost some weight, but I've been going in and out of relapse because the struggle is so intense to deal with these resentments that I don't seem to be able to get a handle on them. And the cravings are my alarm clock that there's something that I'm not dealing with. And so when I'm dealing, and sometimes I just feel overwhelmed with, you know, the anger and the pain, like a wounded animal that's screaming. But, you know, God has held on to me. I have often not been able to him, but he has held on to me. Sometimes I don't know why, but that's if I hadn't had faith, if I hadn't had a relationship with God, I would have committed suicide a long time ago. So faith is really helpful to me, and I hope that my share has been helpful to somebody else, and I pass.
Thank you so much, KDS. I'm sure it is. Thank you very much. Tom L., you're up next, followed by Bruce E. Share with us, Tom.
Hey, good morning, everyone. This is Tom L. I'm in California, and I related to the previous share. I have been away from Vision for You for a couple months, hanging on to a food plan and very little else, and just trying to get through life without dealing with the God thing. I have many ideas about God. I'm sure there's something in there, but I was thinking, you know what? I just want to do it my way. I'm not obsessed with food. Don't need you guys. And over the last few months, my inner life, which is the only one I really care about, has become somewhat nightmarish. And I don't want to do this anymore. So I'm very glad we're in We Agnostics. I am very agnostic. And I know who the founder of AA was too. He was not really interested in God. And only through dire necessity did he investigate. And that seems to be the way with me. So I'm very glad to be back. I got yesterday and today. Hope to call some of the guys I usually talk to and reconnect to this power. Thanks for letting me.
Sounds great, Tom. Thank you very much. Glad you're back. Brucey, you're up next, and you'll be followed by Vanessa G.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks, everybody on the line. Welcome back, and appreciate this program. And I'm recovered. I'm Bruce E. I'm in Southwest Florida, and very grateful today. So imagine life without faith. That's interesting, you know, because I was without faith for 38 years of my life. I guess the faith I had was in myself, and it was in others if I thought they could give me something, or I could get something from them. My faith was in addiction, was in food. And so I had faith. That didn't work out real well. And so how'd that work out? Well, not too well. And so now I have some faith. Wish I had more of it. I'll get more as time. This too will be revealed too, I guess. I do have faith in a higher power. I believe that God can get me through any problems. He can keep me recovered as long as I keep myself spiritually fit. And so I got some faith. And I don't know if I have more than anybody else or less than anybody else, but I know I've got enough to keep me going, it seems like. Faith. So now my faith, instead of being so much in myself and food and the addiction and in other people and money and seeing what I could get from others, my faith is really in my higher power. And, you know, asking him to help me and counting on my higher power and counting on a power greater than myself to get me through this. There's got to be one because, man, I couldn't do it myself. You know, I tried doing it myself and it didn't work. Were nothing left but pure reason, it wouldn't be life. That's kind of interesting, that sentence. Were nothing left but pure reason, it wouldn't be life. And that's kind of way I lived before, with just in pure reason. And I didn't have a good life, you know. So now I've got the higher power helping me, and that's what's happening. And I really feel like I'm living life now. I feel like I'm living a better life. It's not that things don't come along, you know. Hurricanes just keep coming, it seems like, you know. And I keep being affected by them. The hurricanes of life and then the weather hurricanes. But I'm counting on my higher power now instead of on myself. And boy, I'll tell you, it's a whole lot better than it used to be. So thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Bruce E. We have Vanessa G up next, and after Vanessa, we're going to take another line of the people who would like to comment on page 54, paragraph 2, which begins with, imagine life without faith, and ends with, at least so the chemist said. Vanessa G, please share with us. I want to unmute. Vanessa G?
Sorry about that. I thought I was unmuted. Okay. My name is Vanessa G. I am a compulsive overeater recovered in New Mexico. Gosh, I love the chapter with agnostics. I love these, you know, kind of heady discussions, I guess. But and I liked them when I didn't have any kind of faith, any kind of belief. I loved to discuss, you know, why there wasn't a God. And, you know, why science triumphed over all of that. But, you know, this paragraph finishes with quoting chemists saying that they, you know, too believe. And some of our greatest scientists, even today, the physicists, come, you know, squarely down on the side of faith. But maybe based on reason. You know, I sat outside my first meeting, unable to move in my car, you know, staring in through the window. It was dark and I could see the people inside. And for a dozen years, I hadn't said a prayer. And out of nowhere, here comes this prayer, God, please help me get in there. And I opened that car door, walked across the parking lot, and sat down in my first meeting. Although I didn't know it at the time, it was my first conscious contact with a God that was going to give me power and strength and the ability to do what I couldn't do before. And, you know, that was probably the first chink in my belligerent denial of God. I have found that turning from, you know, non-belief to belief is a lifetime of practice. I still, you know, slip back into, you know, that place of non-belief sometimes. And thank God I have you all around me to remind me that this thing works. That faith by itself creates. There's nothing in my experience that would have caused me to go into that first meeting, except for the fact that once I said a prayer, it happened. Faith creates. Faith is maybe that spark that powers the electrons, that gives us the survival instinct, that causes us to want to live and to live in a way free of, in freedom. I am really grateful for this program. I'm so grateful that, even more so, that somehow, some way, God created a crack in that belligerent shell of denial of Him.
That's a reminder.
Thank you for letting me share.
Oh, thank you so much, Vanessa G. Although we value everybody's experience, we do ask that you would please limit your share to every third day so that others may have an opportunity to share too. So we have time for three or four more shares. Who would like to share?
Rob H.
Rob H.
Karen K.
Roz G.
Roz G.
Karen K.
I got Karen K. And Joan Marie. Joan Marie M. Okay. Please share with us, Rob H.
Thanks, Rob H., New York. I saw this thing, the straight line. I was watching a little video this morning about maps on YouTube and stuff. But anyway, when I think about lines, you can't prove a straight line. Lines, I know lines don't exist in nature. There's no such thing as a line, like the line between two countries or something like that. But then this we believed in life, that was really intense. Because if I don't believe in life, then what's the alternative? I believe that I believe that death is what needs to happen. So thinking about life, I like thinking about positive things. Sometimes my mind goes to the negative, but I believe that if I focus on life, focus on a higher power that can help me when I'm not doing too well, things are going to go a lot better. A mass of electrons created out of nothing, meaning nothing, whirling onto a destiny of nothingness. I don't believe that. I think at one time I thought I believed that, but I don't really believe that. If I really take a look outside, I see the trees and the grass, and there's something created this thing. So I might not know what it is, but something did, and it wasn't me. So I can believe in that. So that's all I got. Thanks, Cass.
Thank you so much, Rob H. Karen K., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Roz G.
Good morning. My name is Karen K., recovered compulsive eater from Syracuse, New York, and my credits don't transfer. And I just came out of a line of backed up traffic, and now everything is running smoothly. So I don't think anything happens in my world without God's grace. The only thing I have to know about God, and we've heard it in meetings, as long as I'm not it or try to be a God with little g in someone else's life, which is the crux of my program. And I love this chapter because I call it 21 ways to find your higher power, and everybody is different, and to respect that. And I'm going through something now where I need to be out of God's way of my husband's healing. We haven't been married long, and, he's sick again, and, we were married, not even a year, and he was really, very, really sick, and I was doing the shopping, and I said, I got to give this to you, God. This is part of my relationship, because he has God, too. He has a God that's directing his life. And all I can do is love my husband from where he's at and do God's will. And I don't think there's any straight line anywhere except in, the road. Even that has turns on it. Or if I physically draw a straight line. I don't like to analyze my God because he doesn't analyze me. He only gives me the spirit of truth. And I wish everybody a wonderful day. Take care now, and God bless. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Karen K. Roz G., you are up next, and you'll be followed by Joan Marie M.
Okay, Elaine, thank you for your service. And hi, everyone. Thanks, everybody, for your service and for your shares. And I am driving, so you may hear a little, my car and stuff. But excuse me. My question is, imagine living life counting on human beings, counting on people. And people, you know, sometimes suck. And if I count on people, I'm doomed. We are human beings, and we are imperfect, and we change, and we are unstable in our ways sometimes. And I'll speak for myself. I am wishy-washy. I change my mind. I disappoint people. I think one way one minute, and then the next way the next. And I would say that I'm a member of the human race. And if I depend on a human being, I am in for trouble. So I choose the way of faith. I choose the way of God, and a stable God that I can count on no matter how I am feeling. I love how it says, you know, just imagine life without faith. Imagine life with counting on human beings. Oh, my gosh. I like dogs better than people for the most part. I love people, but I just love the unconditional love of my dogs. And I would like to just say that, you know, because I have a very strong God, and my higher power is God, it's an anchor in my life, a helicopter that has rescued me from the tempestuous waves of the ocean, has pulled me out and given me a strong base to live by, and I can count on that because I am a frail human being that will make all kinds of mistakes. And I love, you know, just driving down the street, just looking at the sun rising in California right now, I can count on that sun rising every day. It has ever since I was born in 1963. It's risen, even if the clouds cover it. There's sometimes the clouds are gray, but the sun is shining behind those clouds. And I had a gray month. I didn't get this job that I wanted, and I thought I deserved it, and I didn't get it. And I felt some gray clouds, you know, following me for a good month, but the sun was still shining. And now that I'm on the other side of it, I'm okay. And I felt all the feelings, and I didn't turn to food. I turned to God. I turned to the meetings. I turned to prayer. I didn't turn to my feelings. Okay, so just to say that I would much rather live a life based on faith than on humanity. Praise God, I've passed.
Thanks so much, Roz G. Okay, Joan Marie M., you're up next, and it looks like we may have time for another share after Joan Marie. Please share with us, Joan Marie.
Good morning. May I be heard?
You sound great.
Okay, thank you. Joan Marie M., recovered compulsive overeater, and I have to say this, by grace, his mercy, his love, and his power. And for me, grace is his ability, and mercy is I didn't deserve it, and the power of God is what we lacked. And I lacked. I also lacked with imagine life without hope. I had no hope whatsoever because I was trying to be God in my life. I thought I knew God. I thought I had faith, but I was mainly relying on other people. And what was the result of that? I wound up in a hospital in a coma for 3 days with an overdose of antidepressants that my psychiatrist at the time gave me 6 months' supply, knowing I was suicidal. And so what's wonderful about these shares is it reminds you of things. When the one person talked about suicide, it reminded me of that miracle, that my God is a miracle-working God, and I put my trust in him. Does that mean that my life is perfect, that I really enjoy, expect everything, or accept everything. That's what I mean. On life's terms, sometimes I get a little befuddled, you know, and wanting what I want and all those kind of things. But in the long run, I rely on God and only God, a power that is so great and a love that's so great. I just would really say to those who are on the line, just give them a try. You know, you can ask, you know, will you make yourself real to me? Will you be the kind of higher power that I need in my life? Unconditional love, power beyond human power. Everything about God is good and goodness. You take the O, one of the O's out of good, and you get God. With that, I pass. Thank you, guys. Wonderful shares.
Yours too, Joan Marie M. Thank you so much. I agree. Okay, we have time for a two-minute share. Who would like to take it? Star 1 to unmute if you'd like to share for 2 minutes on page 54, paragraph 2. We'd love to hear from you. Okay, well, seeing no takers, we will take advantage of this, a little extra time for our newcomer reader and announcements. Okay, so let's see. We'll now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Luann C. please read from the Big Book on page 164? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you, Elaine. Luann C., compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.